Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a wonderful show today. Hey, this show is about you guys. It's all about you because you're here because you want to work because you want to, not because you have to. You want to be able to get your money working for you so you don't have to work so hard for money. And this is about creating that freedom, that prosperity, and that cash flow today so you can be with those that you love doing what you love right now. So I appreciate you guys being on. I love the fact you guys are sharing this. It's growing that you guys are talking about this. And those who have reached out to me, I loved it as well because, oh man, there's so much hope for you guys. And I tell you that hope is definitely the thing that's a message of this show. So today I've got an exciting show for you because I've got a good friend on here by the name of Big Mike Zlotnick. And so I just like to say his last name. I think that's the funnest thing ever. So I've actually been talking with Mike for quite a while, and he is the one guy that you probably will never see on a show like this again because, you know, you guys know me. I'm an anti-financial advisor. I'm anti-mutual fund. I'm against most everything that's taught in the traditional marketplace. If a financial advisor sells it, I'm probably going to be against it. You know, there's very few things that I actually do like. But I'll tell you that, you know, Mike here is actually a fund manager and an awesome one at that. I mean, this guy has an amazing reputation. I've known him both from different mastermind groups I'm a part of, both a dental mastermind group as well as Collective Genius, which has some of the best investors around. It's interesting because, you know, Mike started off being in IT. You know, he's been a debt and equity investor since 2000 and even invested in real estate and things like that. You know, but he's after being in the IT field for a while, he's like, okay, enough's enough. I'm getting out of this. And he started going in the financial space. And the big thing that he does is that he really gets the amazing returns for investors. So where you've been trying to look for mutual funds that are at best lackluster, Mike, it creates amazing returns with his investment fund, but it's more like a hedge fund. It's more like the things that most people don't get access to. And so he's also an author. He's got a book called How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Investment Fund that you can find on Amazon. And he's also got a podcast called Big Mike Fund that you can find at bigmikefund.com or on iTunes. So Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. It's a privilege to be here. I appreciate the gracious invitation.
Yeah, no, it's an honor having you on as well because, man, if there's anything that not only myself, but a reputation that it does not take long for people to understand is that you are a brilliant man.
I appreciate appreciate that, and the feeling is mutual. You're very brilliant, so we can skip the pleasantries. We certainly love working with each other and love chatting.
So yeah, I mean, well, help my listeners get to know you a little bit better. Like, tell us about, you know, your life, your family, you know, and just kind of where you came from.
Sure. Originally, I immigrated from the former Soviet Union, Republic of Moldova. Mm. But Russian is my native tongue. That's why people call me Big Mike or Big Russian. That's the nickname that stuck. Big Moldovan wouldn't sound too interesting. So it's Big Mike most of the times. I live in Brooklyn, New York, married, 4 kids and a cat. And I live on an ice skating rink because my kids ice skate heavily, individual and synchronized ice skating.
Wow.
So I spend a lot of time with them at the ice skating rink. That's sort of kind of my life.
So not hockey players or ice skaters, huh? Well, that's great.
And I manage, I'm a fund manager and flagship fund, Tempo Opportunity Fund, and we have secondary funds as well. And they are certainly anti-Wall Street funds. They are small funds. They are real estate funds. And they're focused on finding great cash flow deals with good downside protection and take advantage of the value add real estate projects. So yeah, we do everything on relationships. We're not investing with strangers, and we pick and choose our battles to generate pretty strong distributions. Mm-hmm. And then also have appreciation through value add, sort of forced appreciation of projects.
Now, I get to ask this question all the time, because when people talk to me, they say, and of course they remember 10 years ago, like we all do. I mean, I felt the pain big time when I went $1 million in debt, right? But a lot of people will say, they're like, wow, with real estate, how much it's been going up, is it even a good thing to invest in anymore? You know, what would you say to them?
You certainly should look in the past. The past teaches us lessons. And but the past doesn't guarantee future. We certainly have been in a great economic expansion. You couldn't go wrong in real estate or in stock market in the last 10 years. If you entered the market, you would have done very well. So today, the market has matured quite a bit. So we're no longer, it's not the same land of great opportunities. Everything is for sale. At this point, you have to be a lot more sort of a surgeon, basically a sharpshooter, instead of a volume shooter. So you need to pick your shots, your investments very carefully, understand the risk reward, understand the downside on each project. And if you pick your battles carefully, you can do very well in this market, even though it's a very much appreciated market.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's now a game of better choices rather than just throw the money at in real estate because everything is selling at 50% of reconstruction cost. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, you're definitely, that's the, I think the thing will differentiate real investors from just tag-alongs, as I'd call it, right? I mean, you definitely look for the hot opportunities where there can be opportunities that people will try to take advantage of that they'll crash and burn, you know, like just like any time. And so, yeah, you definitely got to be picky. You definitely got to find the right stuff, right?
That's right. In today's market, you can't just go. First of all, there's a lot of crap out there. Pardon my French.
I say crap constantly on the show, so you're good.
Yeah, I hope it's politically correct. We're not saying anything that's. But there are a lot of project sponsors and a lot of projects that are offered on terrible terms with a lot of risk, and there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. Right. If you put your money with the wolves, wolves are people, the sponsors, the people who bring the deals forward, and then the projects are terrible, and there's a lot of risks, and investors don't get compensated enough return. The sponsors, if things go well, the sponsor will take a giant share of the upside. Investors get paid what they've been promised. And if they don't go well, the sponsor will walk away, let me put it this way. So these projects, you have to have experience to be able to push them away right away. And then even in the good project space, you got to have enough experience to select. Sort of when we invest in the deals, the way we think of it is we pick, we underwrite sort of first the sponsors. Is this a good person? Is it an experienced person? Mm. They have good integrity. Do they communicate well? How many projects like this have they done? How performance have been relative to their projections? So if you look at the combination of things and then you determine they have the basics of running the project forward. The next thing is this project good? Are they paying a fair price? Is there a good value strategy? Are they getting enough cash flow? Is the deal good from a downside protection? We, especially in this market, it is double important to understand the risks and how do you protect yourself if there's a recession? What happens with the project if there's a recession? We generally look at various stress test conditions. Can it survive a stress? And if it can, great. I mean, these are some of the basics of picking and choosing the right deals. There are no guarantees in life. Even a good project can go bad. But the chances are mathematically that good sponsor project, good value add strategy, good location, good execution will create enough upside that even if the market turns, you can still do well.
Yeah. So what, you know, with what you're seeing on the kind of come up on the horizon and everything else, where things are obviously changing, things are softening a little bit in the economy and whatnot. You know, what do you see as opportunities right now that you're looking at, even investing in your own fund?
Sure. So we have a constant universe of potential deals that are coming across, and they vary, right?
Yeah.
So we have interesting sectors and subsectors where we invest in. Give you an example. I'm in New York City, so we're investing in projects here, newly constructed buildings. They're coming up everywhere, new condo developments left and right. But we're not investing in the acquisitions of these new buildings or new construction. We're investing at purchasing debt, firstly in mortgages, secured by these buildings that have term maturity default. In other words, the building has been built, the city delayed them, They didn't get certificate of occupancy on time. We want to buy first lien loan with strong downside protection. That's now defaulted.
The loan to value rate for them.
Yes, we had the bank, but we bought it from the bank that wants out of it because it's been a 2-year old loan. They're sick and tired of it. They're willing to sell. We file notice of default. We collect 24% default interest and loan to value of 50%, right? It's a very strong deal.
Safe deal.
It's one area of opportunity. The other area of opportunities in today's kind of economy, we investing number of the self-storage conversion projects. So it's not, there's a lot of people investing in self-storage today. I've seen a ton of deals, but you got to, you know, pick and choose between the quality deals versus the so-so deals. So solid conversion projects take an old big box retailer, Macy's, Sears, JCPenney, Toys R Us, an older big box retailer location that has outlived its usefulness as a retail center and convert them to self-storage. And if they're well-positioned within a city where there aren't that many new infill opportunities for similar competitive asset, what you wind up with is a great conversion because you're located very well in an old dysfunctional mall. New malls have taken the business, but this one is used as a self-storage, maybe a little bit of retail around it could become a gem. It's basically a gem in the rough. If you just clean up the dirt and redevelop it, and you do it at a fraction of a cost of new construction. It takes less time. So that's just another area of kind of the economic trends. There are other trends. The one trend that's brutally competitive and hard to find deals, we're still finding deals, multifamily. The general multifamily, brutally competitive. But we do find deals in the space, typically with the sponsors who actually don't mind rolling up the sleeves, have a lot of experience, and they're geographically positioned with strong rehab crews, and they can take on all their assets, manage some of the heavier innovations, and can generate a lot of value after that process. Just another area of potential opportunity. But that's a regional play. You have to be a strong specialist in that. So I hope it's not too much. Just give you a couple of sectors. Self-storage, acquisition of mortgages, some of the heavy value-add multifamily.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I've seen a lot of people mess these things up, but it's nice when you know that someone actually could say, here's the opportunity. In fact, when people mess things up, you know, when people can't manage a multifamily type of unit really well, that's an opportunity for you to kind of come in and, you know, churn things around and get a massive ROI on that.
That's exactly the case when a lot of these deals, somebody goes in, happens all the time, especially in the multifamily space, out-of-town investor. They buy an asset. They can manage renovations remotely. Very hard. City delays them. No local crews. No local ownership, per se. And then they just can't manage them. And if you can come in with a strong local presence. And again, we don't do it. We find the sponsors who do it. That's the big difference. People ask us, do we do any of these projects? No, I'm a mathematician. I'm sitting in Brooklyn. I'm doing the math. I'm doing the financial analysis. And we do a lot of due diligence on these deals with the right people.
So what's your opinion about, I mean, obviously, I know you know how to invest in stocks and bonds and things like that. Now, why isn't that really a part of your portfolio?
We only invest, just give you clarity of what we invest in. At this point, slightly above half of our portfolio is in hard money loans and fix and flip projects. So it's a bread and butter what we do. We generate very strong income from these deals. There are wide majority first lien mortgages on fix and flip. Sharp guys buy a house, fix it up, sell it. Very straightforward process. We give them a loan. They get repaid on resale. Similarly, we have a group of folks who borrow money for fix and refi. They buy them, they do significant improvements, then they refinance with a bank loan for long-term hold, we get repaid.
So right.
Today, it's roughly a little over 50% of the fund business. The other 50% are just heavy value-add projects, multifamily, self-storage, acquisitions of the first lien debt. It's sort of it could be also looked at a hard money type. It's an equivalent of that. We have also, as I said, we have some retail, some office space, and trying to think. I'm looking at a deal now that's sort of a mix between office and industrial. Sort of all of them are all real estate. They trade at a multiple of income. They have dynamics of a commercial investment.
Yeah. So yeah, those of you listening, this is definitely not like, you know, when somebody says, oh, I'm investing in real estate and they really just have a REIT, you know, this is definitely not a REIT. This is something that's really the same kind of things you possibly could do some investing in, but you know, Mike just kind of brings it all into one place, which is really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll add, so yeah, compared to us, people ask, what's the difference between us and REITs? Well, yeah. Some of these self-storage conversion projects, we take it through the value-add life cycle. We increase the value, and then we sell them to REITs. REITs buy them. Their yield is, you know, 5.5-6%. We distribute much, much, much higher number on these projects because we target when we make investments on these deals, sort of internal rate of return or average annualized return, high teens, 20s, right? Sometimes even higher, depending on type of deals. But we're not looking to generate investors 6%. We're looking to generate investors. The target rate on the fund is 10-13% annual return. But we are focused and work as hard as we can to beat that number. Now, I'm going to be very careful, not guaranteed. You want a guaranteed return, call Bernie Madoff. We'll do the best we can to generate good returns with a strong target and then strong assets, but not guaranteed returns. There's always risk. And if this is not life insurance policy that you offer, the infinite banking, has sort of an equivalent of guarantee because it's guaranteed by the balance sheet of the insurance companies. This is very different to a real estate fund. What we don't do is we don't take a necessary risk. We have zero leverage on a fund level. So what we generate return, what we generate, that creates strong downside protection. We don't borrow the money against assets to increase leverage to magnify the return. We generate enough without that extra element of a risk. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a thing that I think all of us as investors realize is that, you know, for example, I used to teach people how to trade stocks and options in the markets. Right. And I would tell them right off the bat, I'm going to say, listen, you're not investors, you're gamblers. You know, investors actually have something that they can control. Like you're basically riding market waves, you know? So, you know, my whole goal is to get them to gamble as less risky as possible in the market so they can make money and lose less, you know? But what you're doing is a very different thing. It's, I mean, even when you talk about hitting the 10-13% target, which is incredible, because I'll tell you, there's no mutual fund that will do that on a consistent basis ever on an actual yield basis. You're lucky to get 7.5-8% on an actual yield basis, you know? So for you to do that is incredible. And I know you're trying to target higher than that even, but, I think that's what's incredible about your fund is it's almost like all the benefits of like a mutual fund, but, I think it's less risky than the typical mutual fund where you're just riding market waves.
I greatly appreciate you saying this. People, those who really understand, who have the brightness and intelligence to understand risk and what makes a formula, it's the likelihood of a times impact.
Yeah.
And people think government bonds are safe, right? Guaranteed. Well, and that's probably one of the riskiest investments you could have. If the interest rates move up, your government bonds will fall in price. The mutual funds is a place for them. You obviously have to watch the cost. But what we do is very different. So if it's one word that defines real estate versus the Wall Street, there's a one word. It's called predictability. Yeah. Real estate is a whole lot more predictable than the Wall Street. Wall Street is generally like a roulette wheel. It is gambling.
Yeah.
Certainly, in the long run, the asset balloon grows with central banks pumping money in the whole economy, and they create forced asset inflation. People paying more for the assets. They call it PE expansion. What the heck is a PE expansion? It's just a fancy way to say that they're throwing so much money that people are settling for less and less dividend distribution, less and rich return, and they're speculating.
Yeah,
the investing, the definition of investing, if you go back to the times of Benjamin Graham, was a teacher of Warren Buffett for value investing. You got to get more value what you pay for. That's how you find bargains. That's how Warren Buffett for years have found book value, intrinsic value versus what the market pays for it. If intrinsic value is a whole lot higher, what the market thinks, it's a bargain at that point. So in real estate, it's the same kind of concept. Predictability comes from the fact that we know more or less how loan portfolio will perform. We know more or less how these assets will perform. We have value add component of the project, and it's expected to have a little bit less cash flow year one and two while you're renovating apartments, while you are increasing rents. But overall, it is very predictable. Now, again, the return might fluctuate. You may not get 10 to 13 this year. You may get 9. The next year, you may get 15. But the volatility is also a whole lot lighter. The point is, I'm not saying we will not see significant downturns. If there's another great recession, we might have to cut the distributions. We might have to do a lot of things that we don't want to do under normal conditions. But in the way we look at these investments, I believe we should do a whole lot better than the Wall Street. Mm-hmm. I can't guarantee that, but our strategy, our diversification, the value add components of the investments, the fact that a lot of our investments are in first lien debt position, we have equity cushions, and it's generating strong cash, combination of those things is what creates predictability. So I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, it's, I think that's what I love. And you kind of follow Warren Buffett's rules, which is don't lose money, right? It's really about make sure that you actually get paid. Even if market conditions change, it might affect the return. But I'll tell you, like, if you can stay as a positive return, no matter what, I mean, that's, I mean, I don't think anybody would ask for anything more. That would be a dream for most people, you know?
Yeah, it's, we try to make the best decisions, but we also use mathematical theory. Every time we make investment, we assign sort of level of risk and set aside loss reserves. We make loans, we keep loss reserves. We make even equity investments. That, by the way, that whole concept is yet another discussion. Talk about risk-adjusted returns versus the total returns that are projected. And the differentiation between the two is the loss reserves. It's very important whenever you make an investment to think what is a risk, what kind of loss reserves you should associate.
Right.
So, it like you said, don't lose money. But mathematically speaking, you may lose money as long as you have loss reserves associated with a loss and then you cover. That's the trick. If you do 100 investments of $1 million each and you have $100 million invested and your loss reserve is, say, 2% of that portfolio, right?
Right.
You can still lose a couple of them per year because if the rest generating you, say, 12% and the two goes bust, right?
Right.
So you take 12% return, you'll lose the 2% that go bust and then you adjust. That's the whole idea.
Yep. Exactly. Sense. Minimizing losses. And you could take IRA money, right? You could take self-directed IRA and do that kind of stuff too, right? Correct?
Yeah, exactly. So we work very well for IRA and non-IRA money. IRAs, because we have no leverage on a fund level, there should be no UBIT. I'm not CPA, not giving financial advice or anything like that. But my understanding, and we've been through this discussion in the past, no leverage, no UBIT. So it works for IRAs. It does work for non-IRAs. So if you have cash money, the fund has depreciation that passes through. To what extent, it varies project by project. Some projects have very significant depreciation schedules. So what it would do is it would create the difference between tax liability and a distribution. So we can distribute at a higher level, and K-1 liability will be lower. That's generally how it works.
Perfect. Well, awesome. So, Mike, how would they get a hold of you if they want to learn more about this?
So the easiest way to find me, and this is the landing page for the podcast, but it's the same website. The primary website is tempofunding.com. But the easy way to remember is bigmikefund.com. You will land on a podcast page. Just navigate around to the main page. They can email me, mike@tempofunding.com. But if they're trying to spell bigmikefund.com and they misspell it, and they wind up going to the bigmikefund.com, I promise you it is not a kinky site.
That's right. That's a very different site you do not want to go to.
It is a good site, actually, Big Mike Fund. The moment I heard that, I thought about it, and I grabbed to GoDaddy, I grabbed that URL, and we URL forward to bigmikefund.com, which is a podcast page, but you can navigate to the main page, and you can reach out mike@tempofunding.com. That's my email.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, Mike. This has been awesome and appreciate it. And everybody, we'll put the link in the show notes so you guys can access that too. So thanks so much, Mike. And it was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chris. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. And everybody else, thank you for joining us this week. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at MoneyRipples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.